I really appreciate the theme of the conference. And tonight we're going to be talking about the temporal versus the eternal. And we've already quoted Corinthians 4:18. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. And I'd like us to start by reflecting on one of the basic issues facing mankind today, and that issue is conflict. History does have a way of repeating itself. Historians and philosophers tell us that the only lesson we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history. And it's probably a challenge for some of you to come to a conference and you've got a bona fide navigator relic talking to you. One of the guys was asking me if, you know, how many years I knew Doss Trotman and so on. And Buzzy and I did have the privilege of knowing Doss for about 5 years before the Lord took him. And we have been involved in the nav ministry for 30 years. And I had a guy come up to me after a rally like this at North Carolina State a few years ago. And came all the way down from the back of this huge auditorium down to the front. And he looked at me and he said, "You know, from the back of the auditorium, you're much younger looking." And just cracked me up. He had no idea what. My friends tell me I'll never live to be as old as I look. And I have observed some history, and I think it's true. In the Middle East today, there's conflict between the Israelis and the Arab nations. There has always been conflict, ever since the time of Abraham, right down to the present day. And the question is, why? Why conflict? There's political conflict today, military conflict, economic conflict, family conflict, marital conflict. There were 1 million divorces last year in the United States. Conflict between parents and children. Why the conflict? Where does conflict come from? And in order to understand the cause of conflict, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 1. If you brought a Bible, you can stick your finger in there. We're going to move along quickly because there's more program tonight over in the dining hall, some more skits and refreshment and time of fellowship. Genesis 1, God creates heaven and earth. Verse 4, God creates the light. And God says the light is good. Verse 10, the earth is good. Verse 12, the trees and the plants. And God says it's good. In verses 14 through 19 of Genesis 1, God creates the sun and the moon and the stars and day and night. And he says it's good. And in verses 26 through 31, God creates man, male and female, in his own moral and spiritual image to rule the earth. God looked at man and said, it's very, very good. In Genesis chapter 3, Satan comes along and talks to Eve. In the meantime, God had given some very clear instructions to Adam. He didn't give them to Eve because Eve had not been created yet. God gave instruction to Adam subsequent to that instruction concerning the prohibition of eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He created Eve. But Adam had been faithful. Adam had shared with his wife the word of God. And Satan came along and said, "No, you're not going to die if you do this. God had said, if you eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Satan said, no, you won't die. You're going to be around forever. It's this way forever. God said, no, if you do that, it's not this way forever. Things will change. You will die. In effect, Satan came along and changed the rules. God had said all creation was good. He hadn't said it was eternal. Satan came along and said, this is forever. This is the real thing. You'll never die if you disobey God. Genesis 5 says Adam died. God kept his word. God never threatens anybody. If I say you're going to die, that's a threat. God says you're going to die, that's a promise. And the world is filled with conflict today because of two diametrically opposed systems of thought. God says that the nature of ultimate reality is spiritual. And Satan says the nature of ultimate reality is material. God is a spirit, John 4:24. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away. The material is not eternal. Ultimate reality is not material. It will pass away. The focus of satanic thinking, God's enemy and man's enemy, is that the material is reality. Satan is attempting to cause Jesus Christ to sin. He says, command that these stones be made bread. Focus on the physical. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. Or in Philippians 3, 18 and 19, Paul is describing the enemies of God. And he says their God is their appetite. The King James says their God is their belly. I do most of my memorizing the King James, the only Bible we had when I was converted. Good news for 17th century man. And you know, I think they did have the RSV. In the summer of 46 when I met the Lord. Two diametrically opposed, mutually exclusive systems of thought. God says the nature of reality is spiritual. And the devil says reality is material. And all around us today, we're surrounded by people committed to one or the other. And for people whose God is their appetite and who worship gold and silver or power or influence or authority or rank. We live in Washington, D.C. and got generals and admirals and colonels and everybody running around. You know, they tell a story about the kid that came in the office one day and he said, good morning, Captain. And the captain thought, that's the screwiest salute I've ever seen in my life, you know. And next morning it was, good morning. And about the third morning he said, how come you used to salute me this way? Good morning, Captain. Now you salute me this way. I used to be up to here with you. Now I'm up to here. I've had all this rank. There's conflict. And you're committed to one. You cannot live in both worlds at the same time. your life is either that ultimate reality is spiritual, or the bottom line of your life is that ultimate reality is material. You have to choose one. You can't live in both worlds at the same time. Now let me suggest very quickly five fundamental attitudes of the Christian with regard to the material world. Because most of us are Christians, and we live in a material world. And what is the proper attitude of a Christian today in the material world? Number one, that all matter is good. Everything material is good. That's the basic attitude of the Christian. That's what Genesis 1 says. The animals were good, the plants were good, light was good. Everything created is good. Philippians 2, verse 5, God's Son became flesh. John 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Romans 14, 14, the Apostle Paul says, nothing is unclean in and of itself. All material things are good. That's the first basic attitude. Secondly, all material things have a proper use. In Genesis 1, 27 and 28, we're told to subdue the earth, to have dominion, to control it, to replenish it, to use it properly and wisely. Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 13, the body is for the Lord. Your body was given to you by the Lord and is to be used for the Lord. Your body isn't yours. You happen to be the temporary resident of your body. This is where you're living right now. You know, the real you, your personality, your spirit, you're temporarily residing in a body. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, your body's a tent. You're just camping through life. That's all you're doing. Someday you're going to get a permanent body called a mansion. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said in John 14. You're just the temporary resident of the body you're living in. That's not your body. It's Jesus Christ's body. He loaned it to you. And He expects you to use it for Him. The body is for the Lord. Your body has a proper use. Now, you can abuse your body. You can misuse your body. But God gave it to you to use properly. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. All things were created by Him and for Him. Timothy 6, 17 says, the living God has given us richly all things to enjoy. Everything has a proper use. Everything is good, and everything has a proper use. The third basic attitude of a Christian towards material things is the attitude of good stewardship. I am accountable to God with what I do. Accountable to God with what I do. Whether I have a little or a lot. I tell the story about the two old guys sitting in the back row of the funeral of the multimillionaire. One of them said to the other, "How much did he leave?" And the other one said, "He left it all." We're stewards, we're managers. To whom much is given, of him shall be much required. We're taught in Luke chapter 12. All we're doing is managing what belongs to God. Your time, your money, your resources. We don't own anything. Where your treasure is, Jesus said, that's where your heart is. Some people, if you want to have fellowship with them, you got to go down to the bank. Say, "Well, I want to get a little heart-to-heart time with you." Good, jump in the car, we go down to the bank. Why? Because that's where your treasure is. Now, nothing wrong with having a saving account. Good heavens, I hope you have a savings account. And all the rest. But don't let your heart get wrapped up in that thing. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And God expects you to manage everything you have, to invest it, to use it wisely. Don't go bury it in the ground. You got a talent, got a gift, you have resources, use them. Accountability. The fourth basic attitude toward material things is someday everything on the face of the earth will burn. 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn with me, please. Beginning with verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. Now, I don't know if you've come to this retreat this weekend, and you may not be a Christian. And if you die without Christ, you will perish. God is not willing for you to perish. He sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world to die for your sins, to pay your penalty for sin, the penalty that you and I should pay, the penalty we deserve. Christ paid. He died on a cross for you, the God-man. And being man, he could die for men. And being God, he could die for all men. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And Jesus Christ is alive today, and he offers you the free gift of eternal life, if you'll ask for it. He is not willing for you to perish. If you perish, it's because you want to perish. If you die without Christ, it's because you choose to die without Christ. You can invite Him into your heart right now. You can ask Him to forgive your sin, to give you the free gift of eternal life. He'll do that. We had a retreat last weekend down in Norfolk, Virginia. Had 60 midshipmen from the United States Naval Academy. And one of the midshipmen came and gave his heart to Christ last weekend. Great joy. You can have that same experience this weekend. But that all should come to repentance. That means change your mind about sin, about yourself, about God. In verse 10, he says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Thrilling promise. That's not a threat. That's a promise. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. If man made it, God is going to burn it. Now, once again, be reasonable. Yeah, you too, right? If you've got something, take good care of it. Christians don't drive dirty, unpolished cars. Didn't know that, did you? Well, they do for a day or two till they can get it taken care of. No, if you've got it, take good care of it. A house or a car or whatever. Be a good steward. Be a good manager. Sloppy and run down at the heels and look like candidates for care packages. You know, I've got a pair of shoes for every day of the week. This is okay. UK, you can explain that to K-State tomorrow also. But don't give your life to the thing. Now, if you're majoring in engineering, be a competent engineer. Be a professional engineer. Be a good engineer. If you're going to build a bridge, if I'm going to drive across it, build a good one. You know. If you're going to major in medicine, surgery, be a competent surgeon. You know, I don't... You're stropping the blade, you know. Well, Skip, is this your first operation? Mine too. And the works that are therein shall be burned up. Keep it all. You hold it all with an open hand. Take care of it. Don't give your life to it. That's the Christian attitude. It is good because God made it. It has a proper purpose. You should use it for the proper purpose. Don't give your life to material things because someday it's all going to burn. It says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person should we be in all holy living and godliness? And the fifth basic attitude of a Christian toward material things is, since it's all going to burn, in the final analysis, only two things are important: people and the Word of God. Two things in this life are eternal. Two things at this conference are eternal. You are eternal. and the Word of God. You are going to live somewhere forever. Now, if you're a non-Christian, the Bible says you're going to live forever in hell. Luke chapter 6, Jesus talked more about hell than anyone else in the Scriptures because he knew more about hell. In Luke chapter 16, verses 22 and 23, it came to pass the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, that is to heaven. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. He died. He was in torment. He lifted up his eyes. If you're a Christian, you'll also live forever with Jesus Christ. Where I am, there ye may be also. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Spiritually, never die. John 11, 25 and 26. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. If you're born once, physically, you die physically and you die spiritually. You die twice. If you're born twice, physically and spiritually, you only die physically. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Two things this weekend here at this retreat center are eternal. You are eternal, and the Word of God is eternal. My word will not pass away, Jesus said. 1 Peter 1:25 says, the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, since that's true, what are you going to give your life to? What are you going to live for? What's going to be the long-range focus of your life? God would like it to be people and His Word. And if you'll do that, if you'll commit yourself to those two things which are eternal, the longer you live, the greater satisfaction you're going to have. The more exciting life will become. The more fulfilling. The more joyful. A bunch of guys, about eight men from the University of Vermont, spent the night with us last Monday, a week ago. They were traveling back trip and came to our place in Northern Virginia and arrived at 7 o'clock, and we went down and spent a couple hours in the morning, and they spent the night and we gave them breakfast and sent them on their way. But one of the things I told them, I said, I've been a Christian 34 years. And I said, every year it's more joyful. It's more meaningful. The guy said, man, am I glad to hear you say that. because I really had my doubts. He said, I've only known the Lord just a year or so. But he said, I know this older Christian man, and he's kind of grouchy and grumpy. And I thought, man, I'm not sure that's the way I want to go. Somebody pulled the plug on him. I don't know what happened. That's not the way it is. It doesn't have to be that way. With God gets more exciting. It's kind of like the kid said to his little friend, he said, how come your grandma's always reading the Bible? He said, I don't know. I think she's cramming for finals. Well, you know, that there's probably some truth to that. Everything gets better. Kids gets better. Grandchildren. Man, that is really sensational. After the meeting. They're beautiful. If you've got God's perspective on life, that the nature of ultimate reality is spiritual, not material. If you'll commit yourself to God's point of view, the things which are seen are temporal, transitory. They're going to pass away. The things which are not seen are eternal. The real you, you're eternal. Truth, given to us in words which we see, but an expression of the reality of the mind of God, eternal. What are you living for? If you give yourself to the temporal, if you swallow Satan's hook, you're in for disillusionment and bitterness and frustration and confusion. If you give yourself to that which is eternal, to the mind of God, people, the Word of God, life gets more exciting with every passing day. You make the choice. The consequences have already been decided. Perhaps that's why God brought you here for the weekend. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Now, Father, we do thank you for this beautiful place, this joyful occasion. Thank you so much for loving us. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for faith. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for life eternal. thank you for one another, Father. You have brought us here. Each one by divine appointment. Now grant that as we spend these few short hours together, that we will be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Father, help us to evaluate our basic view of life. And to settle our hearts and minds once and for all that the nature of ultimate reality is spiritual. God is spirit. And they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Father, give us the grace to give our lives, to dedicate ourselves to your word, which is settled forever in heaven, and other people for whom Christ died. Speak to us this weekend. Lord, give us hearts that are open, hearts that are honest, honest with you. Give us the grace to stop playing games, even religious games, to drop the shield, the facade, the mask, and to have an encounter heart to heart with one who loves us beyond our fondest dream. We pray with thanksgiving in His incomparable name. Amen.